Thanks for joining us for this episode. And before we get started, please take a moment to subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you may listen to podcasts. If you want to learn more about any guest featured in this episode or access any content or resources discussed, be sure to check out the show notes in the episode description. We hope today's episode increases truth and inspires hope in the lives of your church, your business, your family, and beyond. Welcome to the Must Increase Podcast.
Welcome to the podcast. I am your host, Luke Clayton, and today I am joined by a returning guest slash co-host, the man, the myth, the legend, Matt Gleb. Matt, welcome. Yes, the crowd goes. Actually, at one time I had a sound effect here that I could do for here. What is that? Oh no, that's not it. Hold up. Here we go. That was your applause right there. I never use that option C on my sound pad, just for future reference, to give that applause. Anyways, yeah, Matt, welcome. Welcome. Hey, Merry Christmas to you. It's about that time of year.
Let's go. I love it. Let's do it. It's just starting to get really cold around here again. You know, it got cold for a little bit, got nasty hot. Uh-huh. Mosquitoes came back out, but now it's back to frost in the morning. So love it.
Yeah. 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 It is the most wonderful time of the year, as they say. And for this time of the year on the podcast, we are going through kind of a series of episodes, looking at some of the best. It's kind of like stealing the idea from Oprah. It's like, here's some favorite things, you know, from 2023, some of the best of. And yeah. So today, Matt, you are joining me for the best of episode, in which we are talking about our best movies, TV shows, but also just entertainment in general. We're going to kind of broaden it to be beyond just, because I talk about movies on here a lot. So I figured, hey, let's broaden the scope. Yes, movies will be mentioned for sure. But we're going to talk about entertainment items. And so we're going to get started here with the coin toss. And you being the guest, you get to call it. So where are we going? Are we going heads or tails?
When you flip it, I'll call it. I don't want any cheating.
All right, fine. Call it in the air. Here we go.
Tails never fails.
And you're right. It does not. So you are our, you get to go first. And so we are going to do it this way. We're going to save pick number one for last. And so we're going to text each other right now, our number one pick, so that we know it's off the board. And so here, and actually I am really, I know what my number one is. It's a very unusual one. But yeah, this is going to remain a secret until we reveal it. Okay. Yep. There we go. I see yours. You see mine. So that's number one. So those items are off the board, but now we are going to proceed in the draft style, and we're going to start with pick number two. So Matt, you are up on the board first. What is your selection for number two in your draft of best entertainment of 2023?
Yeah, let me just preface my picks by saying I really don't watch movies or TV shows these days. I used to love different shows, but I'm all about YouTube right now because I can control what I'm watching. I can subscribe, and my algorithm just only shoots out stuff that I am interested in. And I now live in the South, so I am a redneck.
Yes.
When it comes to hunting, I love hunting. Mm. And so my number two of my top entertainment right now is hunting shows. And I know the viewers and the listeners are dying to know which ones are my favorite. So for hunting, I love The Hunting Public. Love those guys. They are just a group of buddies that go around and hunt public land in the United States. Mm. And they show their journeys. Love that. I love another group called Seek One. And they're kind of opposite. They don't go to public land. They get permission in urban areas, and they're located in Atlanta. And so they get property in Atlanta and just shoot the biggest deers in the world. So they're kind of frustrating to watch, but it's also awesome. And I love a guy, a show called Hushin' TV, and they're located in the Northwest. And then another one called Born and Raised. Those guys specifically hunt elk. And so all of those shows are spitting out videos like crazy right now. So I love my hunting shows. My son is starting to watch them. The other day I shot a doe, and my son, I shot the doe at 100 yards in the shoulder, like you're supposed to. Wow. And my son said, "You smoked the deer 50 yards right in the body." And like, he's just saying all these words that he's heard said on these hunting shows. It was just so funny. Everything's 50 yards. But anyway, hunting shows is number two.
Hunting shows number two. Well, Matt, I do not have a lot of follow-up with you on that because I am pretty infamous for being someone who has zero interest in outdoorsman stuff. I turned in my man card for that. Actually, no, I didn't have to turn it in because I never accepted that part of my man card. So I need to get I should have brought Bo Snyder on. He would have. Yeah. You guys could chat
more about that. I've been eating up his stuff on Instagram. Yeah, they're doing a great job.
He does. So shout out to Bo there. He's got some stuff on YouTube and Instagram as well. But okay, yeah, fair enough. I mean, that's great. You know, I'm all about it. And I'm sure we have some folks in our audience that are very appreciative of that recommendation. But I have zero follow-up questions or thoughts. So thank you, though, for sharing number two for you, which is hunting YouTube channels. Great. Seriously, I'm all about it. So, okay, well, I'm going to move into what do we got here? What is this? Hold on.
Just does.
Just a couple does. Is that on your trail cam?
Yep. Just hanging out. That was just the other night. I just love seeing some big old does.
Yeah.
I have one more tag. So I'll answer your follow-up questions you didn't ask. Yeah, I hunt to fill the freezer. And yeah, I have shot two good bucks this year. And yes, I will accept anyone who wants to invite me to their property to hunt. Yes, I accept. Yes, I'm a youth pastor. I don't have a lot. So yeah, I will take your pity invite to hunt. I'll buy my own tag. I'll drive there. You just give me the spot and the guarantee that there's a good deer there. That's all.
Yeah, just send location and you're in. I love it.
So sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so moving on, gosh. All right. So we're going to look into number two pick for me, which honestly, I am struggling because I have a list here of stuff. And so for me to, I don't know if my stuff is going to be in any particular order except for the number one pick. But here's what I'm going to go with. For number two, I'm going to go with Sound of Freedom. Sound of Freedom was released back in the summer. It's from Angel Studios. It's a movie. And I've already reviewed it on the podcast back closer to when it came out. And so I'm not going to go into the full in-depth review of it, but it's essentially a movie, a true story of a man who goes and rescues children from the child trafficking slave industry. It's placed in South America. It's a really, really heavy film because it very much sheds light on the tragically real, very real, multi-billion dollar business that is child sex slave trade. But just a really good movie. It's not one of those movies, even though it has a powerful message, it's generally just a really intriguing story. It was definitely my favorite. I'm pretty sure it's my favorite movie of the year, which obviously that's why I'm going to place it here at number two for me. So yeah, I really liked it. I don't know if you saw it, Matt. I think you can stream it now. I'm not sure where, but it was, again, heavy content. Do not watch it with your kids. But I think every parent, every human being for sure, but definitely every parent needs to see this movie because, it sheds light on some really horrible darkness. So, to kind of take a dark turn there from, your hunting escapades, that's my number two.
Yeah. I have not seen that actually. I've heard obviously a lot about it. Saw the previews, but, I want to watch that. And you just spiked my interest in it once again. So we'll get on it. After we open presents, we'll just say, hey, while we're throwing away the wrapping paper, let's turn on some TV.
Yeah, it's a real Christmas, real Christmas movie there. Yeah, real holly and jolly. Okay, yeah. So now we're gonna move into pick number three. So Matt, you're on the board.
Okay, number three, going with the classic. and sticking and not to, definitely not mocking your video. I want to watch that, very serious issue in the world, but I'm going to Christmas classic. Love Buddy the Elf. Love that movie.
Oh yeah.
Every year could watch it twice. You know, I'm okay with watching it twice in the holiday season. Maybe one of my most favorite Will Ferrell movies, Kicking and Screaming's up there as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But dude, just so funny. We make videos for our school for morning announcements, and I just made a morning announcement video with Will Ferrell, Buddy the Elf clips all in between, and he's just so stinking funny. So yeah, number three for all the kids at home, Buddy the Elf, and yeah. I love it.
Yeah, great pick, solid pick, especially again this time of year. We're in the Christmas spirit. Elf is a classic. Now, interestingly enough, I've not seen Elf in a couple of years. I distinctly remember I did not watch it last holiday season. Actually, not a pick at all, even though it's worthy of mention. My daughter and I really got into Home Alone last Christmas season. We watched like every movie, even the bad ones. That was, you know, but yeah, anyways, all that to say, Elf is fantastic. It is a modern day classic. It's hard to believe that movie, I think at this point, is over 20 years old. It's the early 2000s that came out. Wow. Will Ferrell's funny, but he's not what he used to be. And that's definitely his prime, you know, back then. So, that's a good pick there on number three. Moving into my number three, I'm really struggling here. On a number three, and I'm going to go with a little bit of a curveball because this was just not a fantastic year for movies, for me at least. And so I'm going to go with something that's not a movie. And I'm just going to go with NCAA March Madness. I just really enjoyed the tournament this year. I've always enjoyed it, but I really followed it. I guess I was a little more engaged with it, a lot more than I usually am. You know, was tracking my bracket, had some shared bracket groups with my family and some friends. And I got to go to, now it wasn't technically the national tournament, but I got to actually go to the SEC tournament, a couple of the games, because it's been hosted here in Nashville. And so I got to see Tennessee play, I believe it was Mississippi State or something like that. I honestly can't remember the other team. I just know Tennessee won. And I look forward to going back next year because it's actually surprisingly affordable. So anyways, all that to say, but when the national tournament rolled around, I really enjoyed it, like filling up my bracket. I didn't really even have like a team that I was really necessarily rooting for, like, oh, I just want to see him go to the wall. I just enjoyed watching all the games, seeing the tournament develop and all of that. And so, yeah, a really random one there in terms of a little unconventional, but I enjoyed the March Madness tournament this year.
Yeah. Hey, follow-up to that. Did you watch any of the NBA's in-season tournament?
You know, I'm just not an NBA guy.
I'm not either.
Yeah, and I know that the in-season tournament, the NBA Cup, I think it's called, you know, that's something that they've started this year, and I think it's coming to a close pretty soon here. In fact, I think, isn't the finals on Christmas Day, or is it over?
It's over.
Oh, okay. Who won?
Finished it. The last two teams were the Lakers and the Pacers.
Oh, okay.
Like the Indiana Pacers were a shocker to people, and the Lakers, but yeah, LeBron James won it, and I'm not a LeBron James fan. Yeah, me too. But I like several players on the Lakers. But yeah. I just don't like LeBron. And one day I'll be telling my kids how good he was. I'm like, no, he's way better than this common day player. But just don't like him right now.
Yeah, you
know, and LeBron's just one of those Indiana, classic. So I wanted
Indiana. What's that?
I'm born.
Oh, yeah,
in
yeah,
Indiana,
yeah.
So I wanted the Pacers to win. But anyway,
yeah, no, I got you. Well, yeah, I mean, LeBron is one of those. He's one of those guys who, great player, hate him off the court. You know, just can't stand him off the court. And so, anyways, we're not going to give him much more airtime than he deserves, which is really none. So let's move into what we're on number four, I believe. Right, right.
Four, yeah.
Number two, number three. So here we go. Let's move into number four. Matt, you're on the board again.
Moving back to YouTube and. To make you feel even less of a man a little bit more. But Outdoor Boys is this YouTube channel. And this is not just they don't hunt really, like, barely at all on the show. But you should check it out for their travel videos. The dad travels with his family. I think he has three boys and his wife. And they lived in Virginia for a while. Now they live in Alaska. And he does, like, a lot of survival videos and, like, examples of what could happen, what to do. But it's not specifically that, you know, he'll go out and just show fishing videos or, but he has a huge channel of just their family traveling. And it's nice for him to have over, you know, 3 million subscribers so that, you know, all of his trips are paid for and stuff. But, they just go and give reviews on stuff, eat yummy food. He loves to go spear fishing, so he'll do that everywhere he goes. And takes, like, an example of a video, took his son to the Alaskan wilderness in 12 feet of snow. And they camp underneath the snow and have a fire and, like, just showing you how you could survive there. And anyway, really, wow. Really intriguing for me. I love that aspect of outdoors and then his little boys involved. And so my son, once again, loves watching. He calls it the camping videos. And if we start watching a video without his boys in it, he's like, no, the one with his boys. So anyway, the Outdoor Boys, there's my plug for them. If they want to plug me, that'd be great. Yeah. But that's that. There's something else I'm going to say. Oh, anyway, since this is a Christian podcast, he's a Mormon.
Yeah, amen.
And so wherever they travel, he always finds a church and goes to the church. But he never talks about it. So I guess he's not that much of a Mormon. But
yeah.
Anyway, yeah, the Outdoor Boys.
He's not a proselytizer in that way. So now actually that kind of content is definitely more interesting to me because one of the things that I'm, you know, it's not like a New Year's resolution. I don't really know. We'll see what happens. But I kind of had this thought in the back of my head a few weeks ago. It's like, you know what? In 2024, maybe I should travel more. You know, I didn't really go many places this year. I haven't been, I actually, my most exotic place I've ever been, not ever, but in a long time. Oh yeah. North Carolina when I came over there.
North Carolina.
Yeah. No, but this year, actually back in August, I went to Mexico and I've never been to Mexico, you know, and saw our boy Justin Schuler there. Yeah. And so, you know, that was cool. And so, I don't know, I've been thinking like, hey, yeah, maybe I'll do more traveling and things like that. So, that channel maybe actually is going to have a little more appeal to me, you know, for those reasons.
Check it out. They went to Japan and their video of Japan makes me want to go to Japan.
Really? Because
just so technologically advanced, you know, in everything they do in their main cities for sure.
Yeah. Anyway. Nice. Okay. Well, hey, my number four, I think I hard for me to decide on each of these, but I'm going with this because I do want to give something that is certainly because Sound of Freedom was a movie that's, again, about children, but not child friendly at all. And so here's my number four, because I haven't had a chance to really review it on the podcast. I did get to review Sound of Freedom a few months ago. And I just saw this is the movie Journey to Bethlehem. That just came out here back in November. And, you know, it wasn't a wide release. They didn't have a ton of marketing for it. But, I mean, it's essentially the story of the birth of Jesus meets The Greatest Showman in that there's all these, like, there's music. It's a musical. There's original music and songs. And honestly, I appreciated that. Yeah, you could nitpick it, but, like, it was pretty accurate to the actual, you know, biblical account. Obviously, you have to take creative liberties and things like that. But I really enjoyed it, you know, in terms of it being just a like very entertaining. I took my daughter to see it. She really loved it. She thought it was good. We've been listening to, we've looked up some of their songs on Apple Music and been listening to them in the car and they had some catchy songs. And so, yeah, I was a fan. I enjoyed it. I highly recommend it. Definitely a great watch for kids. I'm sure if it's not streaming already, it will be very soon. That you can buy it on, you know, Apple Movies or something like that. But yeah. So number four, Journey to Bethlehem. That's where I'm at.
Dude, this is why we listen to the podcast because I need to watch that too. I appreciate that and love to get my son watching it.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, any kid is going to love it because of the music element. Did you ever watch The Greatest Showman with your son by chance?
No, not yet.
Oh, see, that's another one. Like, it's just the fun music and it's colorful and, you know, it's very, you know, just kid friendly in that way. So yeah, I enjoyed Journey to Bethlehem. All right, Matt, before we get to our number one, here we are. We are moving into honorable mentions section. So this is our chance. We got to do five, Luke. Oh yeah. You know what? You're right. Yeah. Goodness. I was getting my count all off. Yeah. What that's am I saying? Right. Okay. Never mind.
So this could be the honorable mentions. I can add this into the honorable.
No. Here's number five. This is the for real number five pick. And then I have my number five pick, which I'm glad because there was one more thing I wanted to add to this list. So this is great before we get to honorable mentions. So yes, the rules that we made up. This is the fifth pick. And Matt, you're on the board.
Yeah. Thank you for mentioning the rules we made up because I'm about to change the rules.
Yeah. Yeah.
Number five is the worst pick in the world that you can have. That still happens in my house. At least every other day this time of the year. And that's Hallmark movies. Luke, they're the same.
Yeah.
The outcome's the same.
Yeah.
The plot's the same.
Yeah.
And these days, the actors are the same. Every time I turn on the show, it's the same dude. I'm like, it's the same guy.
Yeah.
This guy, you know, he's just on every movie. He just has the face. He has the accent. And they just want him on every show. So Hallmark is my number five. And to abstain, you know, to get away from it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I support your sentiment there, and I think it's just kind of a running joke. But here is interesting. I actually have, long story, inside information, a contact, if you will, who knows a source who's a producer on these Hallmark movies. Here's the kicker. I don't know if I'm supposed to share this secret, but I am. Yeah. They know that it's all the same. Like, they know. It's intentional. They go, we know that this plot is the same plot, you know, big city girl, small town boy, you know, comes, her heart's changed. She gives up everything to move to this small town with Mr. Flannel. Okay. Every time, but they know that it works. So they keep doing it and just making tweaks. And so, you know, it does work because people are watching these, but I'm not one of them. They're not getting my viewership, but somebody out there is watching these.
That somebody is Casey Marie Gleb.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're recorded. She has favorite ones. I'm like, how could you have a favorite one?
Yeah.
They're
all the same. Yeah. So now a very worthy number five in the terms of if we're going for don't do this, don't do this. I think that was worth breaking the rules to give that warning. Yeah. All right, so here we go. Yeah, my number five is going to be Jesus Revolution. Jesus Revolution came out back in March. And again, it's just, I know it sounds, I'm actually hypercritical of faith-based films because usually faith-based films are cheesy. They're kind of like Hallmark movies, speaking of stuff that sucks. You know, so like usually a faith-based film is cheesy, has the same actors, poorly written, poorly directed, poor storytelling. You know, they usually are really in your face with like, oh, hey, you know, come to the altar of this movie theater and get saved. And not to say there's anything wrong with something like that happening, but Jesus Revolution is generally just a powerful story. And well-made, great acting, great storytelling all across the board. And just again, because it's a true story of the Jesus Revolution that happened in the hippie movement. And, you know, there's a lot of critics about it out there. I know, you know, oh, it wasn't real. It wasn't genuine. But you know what? Anytime there are thousands of, you know, young people flocking to a beach to be saved and baptized, that's a beautiful thing. And that's the story that it tells. And it was very moving. And even though they didn't have to be in your face about the message of the gospel, because that was the story being told, was Jesus changed these people, you know, these hippies, and he really powerfully seemed to work in their lives. And so a really good movie. I loved watching it. I saw it in the theater. back in March. And so that's going to come in at my number five there.
Nice. Nice. I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
You know, I think what you said, the stigma of spiritual films.
Yep.
You know,
yeah.
One, I don't, the inaccuracies of things doesn't bother me that much, but when it's like a big doctrinal thing, I'm like, ah, man, that just kind of ruins it for me. Mm-hmm. So I'd rather it not be close to the truth. You know what I mean? And not be truth.
Yeah.
Like even the guy, the guy who goes to church, that guy on the Outdoor Voice TV, like I'd rather he not do it because it's like, that's just not right. You know, that Mormonism, you're leading so many people the wrong direction. So anyway, that along with bad acting, I just so cringy to me. But I need to check those out, especially if they're recommended by Luke Clayton. Yeah, I'm gonna check.
Yeah, I mean, of course, if they have my stamp, you know they're good. Yeah. But no, seriously, Jesus Revolution does because again, it's just telling the story of what happened. It's historically accurate. And here was the powerful part, and I have already shared this on the podcast, but Matt, I'll give you because I reviewed it back in after I watched it. But I'll give you the short version of the story. Watched the movie, came out, went to the bathroom afterwards. There was an older guy in there, and he said, "Man, wasn't that something?" And I said, "Yeah, that was really good." And he said, "I was there. I was in," because they were meeting in this tent. He said, "I was in that tent. My wife got saved there. It changed my life." Wow. And I said, "How accurate was that movie?" He said, "Very accurate." He said, the only comment he made, Kelsey Grammer plays one of the main characters. He goes, "Yeah," and I believe his name was Chuck something. I can't remember his name now. But he said, "Well, Chuck wasn't as good looking as Kelsey Grammer. But other than that, it was pretty accurate." You know, so that was just like, it just affirmed like, man, that was a powerful movie and a powerful story. And this guy's here being like, "Hey, I lived that," and reliving it was awesome. So that's my number five. Okay. Now I'm getting ahead of myself, but now it's time for honorable mentions. So Matt, you have 60 seconds exactly. And I am actually starting a timer on my phone. So when you hear it go off, you have to shut your mouth. It's the rule. So you get 60 seconds to mention anything that we haven't mentioned yet before we get to number one, and then you'll get more time at number one. And so your time starts now.
Honorable mention, since you said Jesus Revolution, got to say The Chosen. I have not finished that whole thing, but I got to get on that and finish it because I was so intrigued by that stuff, by those episodes. So The Chosen, honorable mentions, Bourne Identity, the whole series there. I could sit down and watch it. Anytime I want to, I love to watch this. Pretty much any war movie, I love. Guardians of the Galaxies, the older ones, love them. Or all the Marvel ones, like up until the last couple of years.
Endgame is where it's where it cuts off. But yes,
so good. That's my honorable mentions. I will say La 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 until the end of my 60 seconds.
Okay, well, I mean, you've got 17 left. So I mean, if there's anything else, you want to. You're at 10 seconds now.
Looking around my office for
I love lamp
Snyder Outdoors TV. Let's go.
Boom. Yeah, Bo, you're welcome. Okay, boom. Yeah, there's your 60 seconds. Very nice. Well done, sir. Okay, so now I get my 60 seconds, and I'm never going to be I always waste all my time. So here we go. I will say this before I start my 60 seconds. I think that you're right, Marvel stuff was so good, and then Endgame, but since Endgame 2019, Marvel has been so bad. So that's a dishonorable mention I'm going to throw out there real fast.
Yeah.
I did not see a single Marvel movie this year that I enjoyed, and I saw all of the ones they came out with. Actually, the only one, and I've said this before on the podcast, the only thing good has been Loki. Loki is excellent. I haven't finished season two yet, but so far so good. And then Spider-Man No Way Home was so freaking good. But technically, that's a Sony release, even though it's a Marvel property. It's complicated.
Is that the one where they open a time portal thing?
Yeah. They do the multiverse thing, but they bring all three Spider-Men. I mean, by now, if you haven't seen it, spoiler alert, but all three Spider-Men, Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, they're all there.
Wait, what?
Oh, well, hey, you've had the chance. I was in the theater, on opening day, and that was a really cool moment to see all the three Spider-Men come together. That was awesome. But anyways, okay. But my official honorable mentions, my timer begins. Okay, you're gonna time me. Okay, good. So I don't have to time myself. Tell me when to start.
Ready, set, go.
All right. So here's some honorable mentions. Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning. I've reviewed it before. I really enjoyed it. It didn't do all that well at the box office, but I actually thought it was really good. I've loved all the Mission Impossibles, with the exception of the second movie. I like Tom Cruise. He's a weirdo in real life, but he's a great actor. So Mission Impossible was good. Oppenheimer, I can't give it too much of a recommendation because there are some questionable scenes in it, but it had some really powerful acting. It's way too long. It's 3 hours long. But I did enjoy it. And then I already kind of threw out Loki. I'm going to throw this out. Football this year has been great. I've loved watching NFL, college football. I just got knocked out of my fantasy league playoff. I was pretty upset about that. But, you know, it's been good there. And then the last thing, I don't think I've mentioned this yet, Shark Tank. I've been rewatching Shark Tank a lot these past few months, and it's just a great show. Just a classic show. So I've really enjoyed that. How much time do I have left? I don't know if I have anything else to mention here. Oh, boom. Look at that. Perfect timing. Nice, nice, nice.
Good work.
All right. So those were our honorable mentions, Matt. So now it is time for each of us to reveal our number one pick. So for number one, Matt Gleb, you are on the board.
Wow. This it's an honor to be here, first of all. My number one pick is going to relate to maybe dozens of people here in America. But I love to watch random sports. And my random sports that I love are rugby, pool, darts, and probably the one of the most random sports I've ever watched, I think was called Kabaddi, pretty much tag. Okay. But yeah, those
I have watched tag. Tag is fun to watch.
Yeah, it's not necessarily tag where they run through stuff. It's like seven versus seven guys on a
court. Yeah.
And one at a time, they see how far they can get before the other team tackles them. But if they tag someone and you make it back, that person's out.
Wow.
So, but and if they touch two people and get back, they're out. But as soon as they touch someone or as soon as they're too close, the whole group can tackle them. And if they don't make it back, then they lose that guy.
Sounds like a youth group game.
Yeah, I would love to make. If they had that, I would much rather watch that than, you know, high school basketball these days or soccer.
Or NBA.
Yeah. So, yeah, random sports. Love it. You know, rugby's not big here. Darts isn't big. Pool's not very big, but I love all those.
Okay. Yeah. So I do have a few follow-ups here. So I have watched rugby very little. Like I've seen it on the screen and I'm like, that's my big question. What's going on? Because I'm watching it from the reference of football and I'm like, well, I see the similarities.
Yeah.
But like anyway, so like, can you give me like the 30-second version of how this game works?
Yeah, it's huge in Europe, huge in Asia, even like Japan loves it.
Australia's into it, I think.
Australia. And the biggest team out there, the most famous team would be the New Zealand All Blacks. And that's my favorite team to watch, New Zealand, because it's like an NBA All-Star game once they all get on one team because they have like a regular league like the NBA, but like their national team is just amazing to watch. Rugby, 15 guys on the field, and you can only throw the ball to each other backwards, but you could kick the ball forwards and go get it. But the guys can never be in front of each other, so you can never have guys out blocking for you. There's no blocking. There's no interference. So it's pretty much you think of a common day football, throwing the option. Quarterback is run outside and throws the option. That's kind of what that's like, although they throw it with two hands and they throw like perfect spirals with two hands. And we get the term touchdown with American football. When they score, they literally have to touch their ball down in the end zone line. So if they get tackled and they never touch the ball down, it never counts.
Wow.
Or if they lose control of the ball and don't touch it down by forcibly pushing the ball against the ground. So, and their points are five if they do that, and then they get a kick afterwards, and their kick's worth two if it's like the point after. And man, I can keep going. Their field, if they do a touchdown all the way at the end line, like almost out of bounds, that's where they have to kick their extra point from. It's from all the way at that angle.
Wow. This is no, I mean, honestly, intriguing, interesting. Yeah. You know, next time I see it on and I, you know, give it a shot, I'll at least know kind of what's going on. So, you know what, though? You said all that and I'm like, I follow. You know what still doesn't make sense to me, though, is offsides in soccer. I'll never get it. I'll never understand it. And so that makes I think I'd rather watch rugby. So, OK. Rugby,
nope. And just to throw this out there, the big difference between football and rugby, no pads.
I saw. Yeah, I was going to say it's brutal. It's just,
they wear a T-shirt and the smallest shorts ever. But they teach you, and this is some fun things to point out, how to tackle. You can never just hit someone. You have to wrap your arms around them.
Ah, okay.
And you can never contact anyone in the head or a shoulder up, pretty much from the top of their shoulder up. If you do that, you get kicked out of the game immediately. Oh, or okay, they give you, they give yellow cards like soccer or red cards.
Okay.
So if it's a yellow card, you have to sit out for 10 minutes of an 80-minute game. So that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And then, but they do have concussion hats. So if a dude gets a concussion, they have to wear that little concussion hat that just helps the blow. And something else, I just have to say, they respect the referee so much. And I think that's awesome. The referee wears a mic the whole time. And so if a guy starts talking back, he'll say, no, you be quiet. I'm going to give you a card if you talk. So like they don't talk. And I love that because I hate watching sports where the teams, it just turns into a who can complain the loudest, because now the refs feel like, oh, now I have to do something to equal this out.
That's, but, yeah. That's...
I love when a ref says, don't talk to me anymore. And I'm like, yeah.
All right.
And the refs always like 5'6" and like 110 pounds on these things. And all these dudes are like 6'8" and like 300 pounds. And they're like, sorry, sir. And I love
it. Goodness. Yeah. So, wow. Okay. Rugby and random sports. Love it. Great. Number one. I mean, really super unique. And I thought mine was unique, but you're going to take the cake on the unique stuff here, but I will move into my number one, which is a composer named Tommy Profit, spelled T-O-M-M-E-E. And then I think P-R-O-F-F-I-T. I went to, just last week, a Christmas concert featuring Tommy Profit. Now, he's a composer, and what he's known for, he's done a lot of different albums and like random things that he's put out on like Spotify and Apple Music, but what he's known for is a couple years ago, he released a Christmas album called Birth of a King, where he took a lot of Christmas songs, Christmas carols, and he made them epic. So one of my favorite genres, if not the favorite genre of music for me personally, is movie soundtracks. I love the epic, you know, just building of a song, and like I love Hans Zimmer and, you know, all these classic, you know, movie soundtracks you can think of. I'm all about that. And so what Tommy Profit has done is he took those Christmas songs and he made them epic. And then he took that in last year and this year, and he actually made it a live concert. And I can tell you this, I don't go to a lot of concerts. Like I don't go to a lot of live music, like whatever. So I'm not the expert on this matter. That said, this live concert was so powerful, so good. Like just to hear some very talented vocalists sing these songs, and they have I don't know how many, like 60 plus piece orchestra, a choir backing them up. And then, you know, they've got like amazing production value in terms of all the lighting and everything being just right. It was just so cool. One of the most enjoyable like live events I've been to in a long time. And I hope he comes back. He lives in the Nashville area, so I hope he does the concert again next year, because I will for sure go. But you can look his album up. Again, Birth of a King. He's got the studio version, and now he recorded one of their concerts, and he's got the live version as well. And that's my Christmas list. That is my Christmas jams. I'm listening to his albums all the time as we come around to this this time of year. So yeah, that's my number one. That was my favorite entertainment outing this year, was seeing that in concert.
Nice. I am. I was looking it up right now. So
there it is. Yep. Birth of the King.
I'm gonna give it a listen.
Yeah, if you want some, hey, Noel, He Is Born, Reprise, however you say that, and Mary, Did You Know? Those are probably my three favorites, but they're all pretty good.
Is Jordan Smith the guy who is on
The Voice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah, he's got a killer voice.
He is good. So, yeah, you're if you're into good Christmas jams, there you go. There nice. You go. So,
hey, thank
well,
you.
Matt, it's been good, man. This has been, I've enjoyed this episode going through, you know, picking our top five each rather, drafting things or doing it in the draft format. It's been fun. And once again, you know, it's been a great year. Merry Christmas to you. Happy New Year. And if you have any closing words for the audience, share them, share your Christmas wisdom with us, please.
Yeah. Merry Christmas to everybody. Take advantage of your time together. Yeah. Just to get a little somber, lost my dad a couple years ago. So every year it's like, just taking advantage of the time that we do have together. So do that.
Absolutely.
Not worth complaining, not worth fighting over. Just have a good time with each other.
Love it. Love it. Well, Matt, thanks again for joining us on the podcast, and we'll see you next time. And to the audience out there, we'll see you in the next episode.
We are so glad you joined us for this episode. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you may listen to podcasts. Also, we'd really appreciate it if you could leave us a 5-star review and share this podcast with your friends. You can connect with us online at mustincrease.com. And if you'd like a topic or question to be featured on a future episode, send us a text to 615-900-4461. Thanks again for joining us for this episode, and we look forward to seeing you next time as we continue to increase truth and inspire hope in the lives of others right here on the Must Increase podcast.